The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch, engineering and producing the show. And together we welcome you to Buckmaster for Monday. It's the 14th of October, 2019. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, and you're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk Worldwide Live, listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Have all of our podcasts available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. The live line number 790-2040. Each Monday, we begin the program with our Monday political face-off. Our team of commentators today, Bruce Ash is here in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Dr. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, did you have a good weekend?
Oh, very nice. A great dinner with friends on Saturday night, and then got a lot of chores around the house. I guess it's kind of the fall list of things to do.
So yes.
I spent a lot of time outdoors Sunday.
And Bruce, I spent part of my weekend with you here.
We had a great time.
We did. That was fun. And I was going to tell people that TheBuckmasterShow.com, we have the interview, the nice
and
interview.
And the podcast is on the KVOI site as well, and at Inside Track also.
And I thank you very much for letting me share a few thoughts about my career. We kind of did this, well, we did it about a year ago, a little over a year ago, and we talked about the early part of the Buckmaster days, the 50-plus years in the media, and this was kind of more of the later years.
Yeah, well, we covered a lot of ground. And it's interesting. I was at the football game Saturday night, and a couple different people walked up to me, one who I didn't even know at all, and said, "I listened to your show today with Bill Buckmaster. Wow, was that fun."
Wow.
So I was very happy to hear that. I felt as though we were just having like a regular conversation between two friends.
There you go.
And it was just a lot of fun. And I just think people, my hope was is that we got them to understand the essence of Bill.
Mm.
And I think we did.
All righty. I think we did too. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and Moe'sGallery.com. And I know, Bruce, you're a big supporter of Moe's.
I've actually been there the last two Saturdays.
Yeah.
I spent a great deal of time with him. I bought two pieces from the Buckmaster collection.
And I thank you very much. And I've already made the checkout. The proceeds going to Friends of Pima Animal Care, Don. I wanted to make sure all the proceeds, of course, Mo has his end of it, and then I had my proceeds, and they all went to Friends of Pat.
Yeah, and I got two great pieces, and there's some more great things left that may just fit great in your home or office as well. And Mo is doing something right now, a project getting ready to do art lighting.
Yes.
And he does. He's really a technician on this, and mm-hmm. he's got a big, tall task, literally a tall task, because he has to get up on a 14-foot platform.
He's looking actually for a special ladder he needs.
I know. Well, I told him to go ahead and buy it.
Yeah.
And so he'll have it for my project and for others. And the stuff that he does, he really understands how to light up art, and I'm looking forward to it because we've had sort of a not such a good situation mm-hmm. since we moved into our new home, and I'm really looking forward to it.
He does have a show going too, the Buckmaster Collection show. That's going to transition what was left over to their new revised website. The show they're currently doing is Mid-Century Modern, Don, and there's the millennials love the 1950s and all of that. I guess
if you didn't live through them, you like it.
We remember all too well, like, you know, I was a little kid in the 50s. But anyway, that 50s furniture is really big right now with the millennials.
And your role in that is impressive. And should be recognized. I mean, it's an impressive collection that you've amassed over the years, mm-hmm. maps and
yep.
all kinds of things from your travels. And too often those things kind of disappear.
Yes.
You know, you have future generations
sure.
who may care about some or not.
Mm-hmm.
But not only are you sharing it with folks, it's making a difference. Like you said, a lot of it's all being donated to
mm-hmm.
the animal
Friends
shelter.
Friends of Pima Animal Care.
Right. And just to think about that, rather than so many folks almost, I don't want to use the term hoarding because that
yeah.
is a different message.
Right.
But just keep it and people don't get to share it and
yes.
experience it. That's just a great choice that you made to,
well, thank
to
you.
Do with it.
We
I
have
commend
a new,
you for it.
Ann and I have a new philosophy. Out of the closet and all the good stuff that's been in the closet, if it can't go up on the wall, and I've got very little wall space left, it's now going to be available to other people to enjoy.
And that's part, the people who lived through the 50s and 60s, that's what we're all doing in our own lives.
Yeah,
because we've got to that point where that's where we've decided what we need to do.
So, anyway,
so the next
doing,
show will just be on stuff.
Yeah, stuff.
What you do with stuff.
Anyway, let's talk politics. Don, let's begin with you. The decision to abandon the Kurds or to hang them out to dry or whatever you want, very bad?
Well, I think it's one of the kind of worst betrayals in the history of American foreign policy. What this president has done is turned overstating it slightly to make the point, turning allies into adversaries. They're not adversaries, but in order to survive, the Kurds have aligned with an adversary, and that's Syria. That's just happened, I think, in the past 48 hours. What he's done in less than a week is completely shifted the landscape in terms of leadership in that region, and has, without even negotiating, given away the U.S.'s leadership opportunity there, any leverage that the U.S. had in dealing with these issues, certainly has put a lot of lives at risk, including American lives there. And it is betrayal, not just of our allies, the Kurds, but also of our military, who had made promises and agreements and alliances there. Certainly also has now damaged the credibility of the U.S. when it comes to the thinking of our other allies around the world, because now they believe they cannot trust the word of the United States. So I think the damage is long-term here, not just immediate.
Bruce Ash, what is the benefit of this?
Well, before I answer that question, I want to commend Don for trying to take a position on this. And it's not a bad one. I mean, I
go ahead.
I mean, I really, and I'm not going to criticize you. But I think we all have to admit this is a very, very complicated situation, and there are lots of signals that the president sent long before he was elected president that he did not want to continue some of these sorts of support missions, and in fact, when you look at the Kurds, it was George H.W. Bush who abandoned them. After the first Iraq war, and really caused grievous damage to their hopes for a homeland. I'm a big supporter of the Kurds. I think not just because they've supported the United States, but I think
right.
they deserve their own homeland, and this certainly could be a blow to that. But having said all of that, this is a fight that has gone on for probably close to 1,000 years. We've been there, not in a big way, in this particular North Syrian area. We've been there now for a number of years. The Turks were going to go and do this, whether we were there or not. Our European partners in NATO, and of course, Turkey is a NATO partner as well. That's the really aggravating thing in this entire matter. But our NATO partners have not stood up to the aggression that has gone on in Syria and in Lebanon and different places in the Middle East. I would argue, Don, and I know, you know, we all have our own political axes to gore. I would argue that you could blame just as much our European NATO allies for the problem that we find ourselves in today. If all the NATO partners were aligned in trying to stand up to the Turks and trying to, you know, because we're not just creating a buffer zone for the Kurds. This really is about the whole Syrian ISIS and all that business. This is something that the NATO alliance has not ever stood up and said, we're going to take a stand. And the president has been very clear that we cannot do this entire thing ourselves. There were, depending upon which positions they're in, there were somewhere between 50 soldiers in the middle of harm's way, another probably close to 500 or 600 soldiers. We had to get them out. The Turks were coming, and to leave them there would have created a slaughter. And they were coming whether the president removed them or not. Those are the sad facts. That is more of a problem. Again, another topic of conversation. We have serious issues with the Turks. And frankly, I don't care whether Erdogan comes to Washington, as he said he will, in November. Frankly, I think he'll get a very, very angry reception if he does. But if he does come, I hope that this president gives him what for. We've started sanctions. Our European NATO partners have begun a series of sanctions. But the Europeans need to stand up. This is bald-faced aggression. And it's a way complicated thing. The Europeans probably understand this sort of a problem far more than we do because they've been part of some of these battles for the last 1,000 years themselves. But this is a very, very difficult situation. I understand where you're coming from. I understand where people like Lindsey Graham and Brian Kitzinger and members of our own delegation. It's interesting. Both Democrats and Republicans are aligned on this.
Yes,
you know,
they are.
And they're very upset about it.
I mean, even
well,
Pat Robertson is upset.
Yeah, I know. I saw that the other day. But this is not just about American politics. That's the important thing here. It is not just about American politics. This is tribal politics. It's tribal warfare. That's what we're up against. And frankly, the United States of America, without our NATO allies and other allies, should not have to take part in these things. And,
that's the ideal. And I'm going to return the statement and say, I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying. It is a very complicated region, but it isn't just limited to that tribal bleeding over, which does bleed over several
But
nations.
ISIS and Taliban and Al-Qaeda, that's all tribal.
Exactly. It's part of the complication of all of it. And yes, presidents going back, several presidents, as you said, from George H.W. all the way through Clinton, George W. and Obama, no one has had the right answer to it, and all have made mistakes, including now. So,
hold
yes,
your thought.
Okay.
Because
I'm going to come back to NATO and come back to Turkey.
You're going to be up first, Jorgensen. After we take the break, it's our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing. Additional support comes from our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Gee, our temperature here has been, it's felt kind of warm, right? We've been in the 90s. 72 right now in Silver City, so it's certainly worth the three-hour drive over to that mile-high city, about 5,000 to 7,000-foot elevation. Beautiful days, some cool nights in the high country. SouthwestNewMexico.org, the starting place for finding out about places to stay, and there's some really nice places to stay, to eat, and of course, great places to go and hang out, like the Gila National Wilderness. Great recreation, southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back with Dr. Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. We're talking about the Kurds. We're talking about Turkey right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off. Dr. Don Jorgensen seated to my left and Bruce Ash to my right. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. And, of course, the Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We're talking about the Kurds and talking about Turkey. And, Don, as promised, you can now continue with your thought.
Here's one of the consequences of the actions that the administration has taken. We all recognize, we were talking during the break, how complicated this region is and has been for a long time, and recognizing that, yes, long term, the U.S. would like to get out of there. But the approach was the wrong approach. And the result of this approach has been that it has strengthened and perhaps emboldened some of our adversaries, Syria. It comes out a winner here. Russia comes out a winner. I'll come back to that one. Iran and ISIS now is reforming. You know, you're going to have 11, 12,000 who are going to wind up being released from these prisons or escaping from these prisons. And
as the Kurds were in their in this retreat.
Right. One of the things the Kurds were doing primarily on behalf of the U.S. is maintaining these prisons and operating these prisons. Well, when survival comes first, you run. And that's what they did. Bruce mentioned that NATO should have a role in this. And I agree with that. And not because they have interest in these regions, and also because we have a NATO member, Turkey, who took this action without any,
notified regard, folks. No regard to the rest of the NATO partners,
no regard,
certainly.
Right. And you wonder if something happened with another nation in NATO now, would Turkey rise up to defend them and work with them? NATO has, or Turkey has the second largest army there and is doing this.
Very good
and
point.
So the result now is, yes, you have a NATO ally who is taking arms up against another U.S. ally in all of this and creating an adversarial position there. So you take a step back and look at now you have the Kurds aligning with Syria just for survival, which means also with Russia, who is an ally with Syria, has a Navy base there and a lot of troops. Russia also has a relationship with Turkey. And so you can envision Putin coming in now as the peacemaker and gaining that quasi-moral ground or leadership, which, of course, is all transactional there, too, and looking to gain power. That should be NATO's role. That's the point here. Well, but we're hearing nothing.
We see how well the Russians did when they last got largely involved in Afghanistan and in some of the other places in the less settled parts of the Middle East.
Agreed, and that's why it could only get worse.
I hope that works out real well for them the next time. I doubt if it will. But look, let's not lose sight. There's two Satans here. The big Satan is China. And as long as we are tied up in these sorts of holding actions and our attention is diverted away from China, which is actually both an economic as well as a military and a political foe of ours, unless we are totally focused on China, all this other stuff, I mean, it's important. I get that, okay? But other people can be handling those things as well. For the sake of the world peace, for the world's peace, for economic prosperity all through the world, freedom, which we've seen so troubling in the last week, this business with the NBA and NBA owners, you know, prostrating themselves to the Chinese leadership. My gosh, it's horrifying. But this is a totalitarian government. I really put Iran in second place because Iran has nuclear weapons. They seem to have a desire to use them for their own purposes, if for nothing else to wipe out Israel. But those are the real enemies here. And does it mean that we don't focus on this? Does it mean that we don't work with our European allies? Of course not. But I don't want this country to lose focus on what is the major existential enemy of the United States. And that is the People's Republic of China.
And you would hope the administration could do more than one thing at a time. With the hollowed out State Department, that's hard to say, because you are correct.
Well, it'd be nice if some people nominated and approved ambassadors.
Well, that would be under Mitch McConnell, and that's another show. But you bring up an issue with regard to the Asia region. How does South Korea read this action by the U.S., who has just walked away from an ally under threat? And They have to now question how strong the support is.
Great point. And certainly, while the government of South Korea likes us, they have done lots of things that have made dealing with the North Koreans more difficult. And frankly, if you were to talk with South Koreans probably from the age of 18 through probably their mid-30s, they've wanted the United States out of South Korea for probably the last two decades.
I'll disagree with that. Finally, we come to disagreement. I've been there. I've talked to them. That's not true. They want resolution.
Well, they riot in the streets, you know.
That's Hong Kong. That's all.
No. I'm talking about in Seoul and other major cities of South Korea. Yeah.
But that's still a question that has arisen as a result, and that's part of the challenge now is looking at how the U.S. And I use the term maintain leadership, but it may be restoring leadership, certainly moral leadership, when we've abandoned allies like this. That's a question that I think is now going to arise in every relationship that we have.
This president, and actually presidents before him as well, probably not so noticeably, have gone to our allies, whether it be NATO, whether it be Japan, whether it be South Korea, Australia, Canada, and they've asked for a more equal cost sharing, both in terms of finances as well as men and equipment. And we're seeing some of those things happen. And South Korea is a good example, because the South Koreans, as well as the Japanese, have said, yes, we understand that we need to take care more of our share of this. This more definitely affects us than it does you, the United States. So, yes, we're going to continue to do that. I think that may be the legacy of all of this business in the long run. The United States isn't going to run away from any of our requirements. But we do need sometimes to rejigger the equation and, when necessary, force our allies to take more of the role themselves to protect themselves.
Well, we've heard that ongoing talk from Trump. We haven't seen the action, though, of the United States in keeping its word to these allies as well.
We keep our word every day, Don. That's just
to the Kurds who have died, to the innocent Kurds who have died on the road. But let me come back to another issue, talking about NATO and Turkey. And one of the questions that arise now when we have a NATO antagonist is how do we respond? And here's the opportunity to see how Donald Trump deals with this. He's talking sanctions, but you know it's not going to change anything. And that's the real question. As you said, Erdogan said he was going in conducting this invasion no matter what. But right now we have nuclear weapons stored in Turkey at the air bases there.
That's pretty damn frightening, I think.
It is frightening. when Turkey and Erdogan have said they want the right to have nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And so with this instability, what do we do? Do we kick them out of NATO? Do we stop sharing intelligence? Because that goes on with NATO allies and such. And do we remove our weapons? That has to be, again, part of the negotiation now, if there's any negotiation, because again, Trump has taken away the leverage, and you see the
weapons being used on. They're United States weapons, the Bradley tanks, and the Abrams tanks, as well as the aircraft they're using. These are all NATO-based, U.S.-based acquisitions that they've made.
Right. So that has a serious,
very
serious
complicated,
question now.
And you know we need to reassess the relationship of Turkey and NATO.
All right, that's Bruce Ash and Dr. Don Jorgensen. Our Monday political face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-run and owned since 1985. Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and of course they're at MoesGallery.com. Check it out. They're doing more and more of these gallery shows. The latest, really nice little show, Mid-Century Modern. So,
and check Moe's photographs that he's done.
Oh yeah,
unbelievable.
He's part of the gallery now. Yeah, he
unreal.
Is terrific.
Unreal.
All right, that's going to do it. Bruce, hope you have a great week. Thank you very much
for
coming
in.
And Don Jorgensen, thank you.
Pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
All right.
CBS News Update. Fort Worth's interim police chief says he would have fired Officer Aaron Dean if he had not resigned in the wake of his fatal shooting of 28-year-old Atiana Jefferson. Chief Ed Krause also told reporters Dean could face charges.
Despite his resignation, the officer still faces criminal charges from the major case investigation. I personally checked on the progress of that case repeatedly, and I anticipate a substantial update to provide you no later than tomorrow.
Jefferson's family wants an independent investigation of the white officer's shooting of the black woman who was babysitting her nephew at her home. Mayor Betsy Price says they deserve justice and closure.
On behalf of the entire city of Fort Worth, I'm sorry. To Atiana's family, it's unacceptable. There is nothing that could justify what happened on Saturday morning. Nothing.
CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's source for trusted news talk. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and it's time for our monthly scam alert brought to you by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Pam Krim is with me in studio. Pam, the very dedicated and so hardworking. I admire this woman so much. She is the CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona and Tucson. Pam, good to see you.
Good to see you. I'm one of the luckiest people in Tucson. I have a great job. I love what I do. I love what we do, and I love the people I work with.
Well, it's so apparent that you love your job and what you have tried to do to help businesses and consumers.
It's important. It's a, you know, there's two sides to the Better Business Bureau. The one that we are very entrenched in the business community, but at the same time, part of our mission is to educate and support consumers, which includes everybody, including business owners.
Yes, it does. So the education component is huge with the BBB.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about scammers and the way they find their opportunities. I didn't realize, I shouldn't be surprised, that the scam market, Pam Krim, is now worth over $6 billion with a B dollars. That is why, obviously, when there's that kind of money, they're going to keep doing it and they're going to want more of the piece of the pie.
Right. And they want to get better at it and better at it. It's one of the most startling things when we do presentations about scams is the vastness of the marketplace. So you know that folks are going to want to do it better and better, and they're going to go to markets that they get a better return, just like a business person does. Mm-hmm. So the things that they're doing now, they have a much higher return of being successful scamming.
Where are they going? What is their avenue of choice? Is it picking up the phone and dealing with those calls that we all hate to get? Is it through email? Or are they going a different route?
Well, they're going a different route. And I have to say, a lot of that's because all of us have gotten smarter. Right. So all of us now block a lot of those calls that come in. We block a lot of those emails that come in. So they're migrating much more towards social media and texts and et cetera. So they're going to the new marketplace, and they're having a double success rate. So now, if from social media and websites, they have about a 90% chance of successfully getting the person engaged. Now it's about a 50% chance that you lose the money or the person participates financially. But those numbers are twice what it was when they go across the phones or voicemail or other forms that they've been doing for years.
Is eBay popular with them?
eBay's very popular with them, and also Craigslist. I think you've probably, I just recently, we did a story on Craigslist. The car being sold on Craigslist,
yes,
from a military person who's getting deployed, so there's a lot of emotion to it.
Sure.
There's a lot of interest and support, and they want you to send a lot of money up front. However, it's such a great deal. You know, buying a $5,000 car for $1,500, wouldn't we all at least take a look at that?
Yeah. So I think there's a red flag there. So be very careful, especially with eBay, about some of your viewing on eBay and where you're actually going to send money.
Right. And I think one of the things that we've discovered, I've been doing some reading about, is that thank goodness the companies that actually do the wire transfers and the banks are also training their employees. So, you know, I had a friend that was almost hooked into a recent scam, and she went to the Western Union, and they advised her, what are you doing? Who is this money going to? So, it kind of takes a village to help stop these scammers.
That didn't used to happen.
No. And even Fry's. When you go into Fry's, they were consulting with her to not do this.
That's very cool. I'm glad to hear that.
I like to give them credit when I get on air.
There you go. So I think the education is paying off.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about what you should do. What are some of the do's and do nots?
Okay, so one of the things that I know I have found myself doing is being on Facebook or being on one of the sites, and you see an ad and you click on it and you go, oh, I love that blouse. And then all of a sudden, you're somewhere else.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is shut that down,
mm-hmm,
go online, try to go to their site directly, or check the BBB.org and see what it says about that particular company, or also Google. Somewhere their story is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start reading the reviews, that's when I started reading reviews, and people were waiting 8 and 9 months to get a piece of clothing that only costs $14. I mean, there's something wrong there, even if you ever get it.
And you mentioned Craigslist, and of course, be very careful about wiring any money as a payment.
Yeah, when people start talking to you about wiring money immediately, not tomorrow, not the day after tomorrow, but getting in your car and going and wiring money, and they're putting pressure on you, then you know something's wrong.
I want to talk a little bit about, and I know you've been attending some national events, and now that I have you here in studio, what's kind of the message you're getting? I think you were at an event, as I recall, in Grand Rapids, Michigan recently. Was that was BBB related, wasn't it?
Yes, that was our national assembly that we do every year.
Yeah, I was just curious, what kind of message is being taken away? What are the colleagues talking about?
Well, we're talking a lot about the scam industry and how we can better help our consumers.
Mm-hmm.
We're also spending a lot of time and energy researching how we can better support small and medium-sized businesses. That's really our sweet spot. What's the information they're looking for? How can we better educate them and be a resource to them? We recently did a very successful SEO webinar, not a webinar, but actually a meeting that we had here in town, and we had over 61 people attend it. And it was an educational seminar on SEO and how to utilize the internet the best in social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very well attended. It was sold out. In fact, we were afraid we were going to have to turn people away.
Is that the one you were the speaker at?
I was not the speaker at that
one.
We actually brought somebody, Robert Reed, who's really a great speaker from Phoenix. And Cox Business helped support that. They that on, and we were able to do the marketing for it. So as a group of over 100 Better Business Bureaus across the nation, Mexico and Canada, we're looking for speakers and content that can really help and support businesses in the United States.
You're all over the place, I tell you. Pam Krim, CEO at the Better Business Bureau. How does BBB locally here fit into the picture with the national? Are the national folks very happy with what is being done here in Tucson?
I'd like to say yes. Yeah. I'm very proud of our performance. We have 7 different categories by size. They kind of regiment us.
Yeah.
And in our size, we're one of the fastest growing. And at the same time, We are doing things such as charity review, the accreditation projects for charities. We're looking to do more outreach to the schools. We're also doing a lot of things with Eller School and the Ethics Foundation there. So we feel we're very engaged, and the response I've gotten from my colleagues is they start asking me questions on what we're doing, and that's always a really good sign.
That is a good sign. And something very important is financial education in the schools.
Right.
Really, when you can get in the schools and do, maybe you're going to give a presentation that's going to resonate with the kids.
Right.
That is so important.
So we want to touch upon finance and ethics.
Right. I want to talk about your mixers that you do. You've got one coming up tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow night. We have one at Riley's.
Okay.
Starts at 5 o'clock and goes till 7, and there is a Halloween costume. I don't know if I'll be in costume or not, but you never know. You just never know.
Never know.
But
depending on your mood.
Exactly. Usually we have anywhere between 75 and 100 very involved business people. So we invite those folks. Whether you're accredited or not accredited with the BBB, you are more than welcome to come.
How can people find out more on your website?
Yes, if you go to BBB.org and you locate yourself to Tucson, all of our events, including nominations for our Torch Awards. Our Torch Awards is going to be May 1st, 2020.
Good.
And we are accepting nominations for businesses, nonprofits, and our Spark Award is for a millennial under 35 years old who's either an owner or a principal in a company.
Very cool. Pam Krim, CEO of BBB, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, it's the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk. Up next, our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, will be with me in studio. He's back from an incredible trip to South Africa. I got to hear a little bit about his trip before we talk education. He'll be next on Buckmaster.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, your source for trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and Green Things, my go-to place for all of my gardening needs, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, the 13-acre site now home to Zocalo, all that great merchandise. This is really beautiful material, a lot of it hand-carved from Mexico, Peru, Ecuador, all over Latin America. There's some European things. So you take care of all of your gardening needs, then check out the five shops at Zocalo Village, greenthingsaz.com or zocalovillage.com for more. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education, former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, one-time Arizona Top School Superintendent of the Year. And he had himself quite an education on a fabulous trip. I was following his blog. First of all, Bob, great to see you again.
Oh, it's nice to be back.
I mean, it's a long trip. It's one of the longest flights in the world.
Yes.
I think you did Atlanta to Johannesburg, right?
Right.
Yeah.
One of the longest flights and some of the oldest flight attendants.
Whoa.
Because they have the seniority.
Yeah. They get to pick that
They get to pick
trip.
Their route. And if they work two routes a month, they're finished their obligations.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, figure it out. You're 17 hours, and then they've got the return trip. There's like 34 hours from one trip. That twice, so they've got their monthly obligation.
Yeah, and I'm sure they build in some wait time.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, they're very happy, and the very, very nice crew. Uh-huh. Very nice crew. So,
what airline were
Delta.
You with? You were with Delta.
Yes.
Okay. So,
yep.
You had a great trip. You were gone how long?
3.5 weeks.
Wow.
Yes.
And,
it was 3.5 weeks of discoveries. I mean, it's like
in
most
people's
vacations,
homes. This was not like your typical vacation. You were like getting meals in folks' homes. And
yeah, it very predictable
in
some ways, like most travel experiences, but it was the unpredictable that was really exciting, you know. Mm-hmm. When you go around the on a road and you don't know what's going to be the next turn, it was pretty exciting.
Yeah,
pretty exciting
and
stuff.
You did see a leopard, I guess.
I actually saw two leopards in one tree.
Oh,
yes.
That would be so great. Our experience traveling to Africa, we never got a chance to see a leopard, and I felt like I was really missing something.
Yes. Well, they say it's
one
of the
big
draw.
Five, one of the big five, you know, so
it
we've
is.
Seen four of the big five.
It is.
Let's switch to our topic today. Parents paying kids $30 now is the average for their allowance. So what are the kids learning? What's the lesson? $30? I had no idea, Bob Hendricks.
I actually didn't either. The American Institute of Certified Public Accountants throws this figure out based on some pretty extensive surveys, and they say that 2/3 of parents give their children some kind of allowance, but the average for the teen years is $30 a week, $120 a month. But I was thinking about this the other day. You know, the job market for high school students is not quite the same as it was when we were growing up. I hate to use the back in the day kind of thing, but you know, we had the paper routes and we had a number of different ways.
I sold gladiolas, flowers on a street corner.
The bulbs.
That was my first job. Yep.
But, you know, the what's called now the shopping mall high school, mm-hmm. where students take a full list of classes, mm-hmm. They're enrolled in athletics, they're involved in clubs, they have all sorts of social activities, in some cases, social service activities, and they don't have time to work.
Right.
And so they don't. And so there has to be some source of income. And this is one of the ways that they've been able to handle the shortfall. If you're a teenager, you want to have some spending money. And if you're not going to be entrepreneurial about it, and maybe we're not promoting entrepreneurism, you know, when the parents are given the money, but it needs to be earned. And so
what
that's
do they
what
get?
Really
what
want
do they
talk
get?
About.
What do they get for the $30, the parents?
Well, it's
30
whatever
bucks
they,
a week.
Whatever they negotiate. And I use that word decisively.
What chores?
What chores? And, you know, the experts say that if you're going to give the allowance, you really need to provide a good lesson in financial management.
Sure.
And so start with some kind of informal contract,
mm-hmm.
and say something that says, you know, keep it simple, for X number of dollars, I will expect you to do the following things. Now, it gets a little bit tricky here because, I mean, at least my belief is that as a member of the family, there's certain things that you are expected to contribute.
Yes.
That you shouldn't necessarily be paid for.
Right.
But there are things, you know, that, you know, working in the yard or taking care of the pets or mm-hmm. some of the things that might not be under the normal.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Kind of like your job would be pet management.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, and in that contract, it would say, this is what happens if you don't do these things, because there has to be a consequence to that commitment.
And there could be something in there. Here will be your base, the $30 a week. And then if you do X and X above that, there'd be a little bonus.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And what experts are also saying is this really promotes a conversation with your children about budgeting, mm-hmm. and talk about long-term goals versus immediate goals. In other words, is it prudent to spend all my money on movies or video games or mm-hmm. going out to eat?
Maybe save 10% of it or 20%.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they say develop some kind of a spreadsheet
mm-hmm.
or budget plan,
mm-hmm.
discuss this plan, and agree to it with your student.
Mm-hmm.
They also say that allowance should start early, certainly not at $30, but as early as 8 years old, as soon as children can really grasp the counting of money and what money means, you ought to start some kind of allowance system so that children do understand the value of money. And also you can talk about the impact of money and how it can affect their planning in their future.
Here's one for you. What about money for grades? Good grades. Because you know that's gonna come up.
I'm not an advocate of that.
I didn't think you would be, but I was going to throw it out there because I know there are parents that are probably saying,
"No, I'm sorry.
If you do get this grade, you know, you're going to get this kind of deal."
No, but that pushes
that
my
opens.
Yeah,
I know. Come here
button.
Closer to the microphone. There you go. Yeah.
I think you have an obligation as a child to do as best you can
right.
in school, and I don't think you should be paid for that.
There you go.
So another idea is that if you're going to give the money, mm-hmm. the allowance, maybe you put some strings on it. And one of the strings might be that you give a third of it, you put a third of it in for long-term planning.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a fifth of it for taxes.
Ooh.
You put the money in a tax jar.
That'd be good to
And
learn.
Then that tax money could either be a contribution to a social program.
Sure.
When you've collected all the money. I mean, there are lots of ways to talk
about
budgeting.
So it's a really great learning tool, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And as I work with adults in social programs,
mm-hmm.
I found out that one of the bigger deficits they have is not be able to plan financially.
Mm-hmm. So this is a good way to start that planning. Yeah, I was just thinking that this is one of those, if someone had asked me and I had not seen, done the prep for this interview and said, Bill, what do you think the average allowance would be? I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I'm just sort of curious how it all sort
of
evolved.
Well, I asked my wife and she said 20.
$20.
She
okay.
said 20.
Yeah.
And there is some There is some scale that suggests that you should give the money based on the age of the child, so it increases as the child gets older.
Wow.
But I don't know if that's really a good idea or not. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of opinions on this, and whether allowance should even be given or not. But but obviously you want to give students a little bit of latitude and a little bit of freedom, but there has to come some responsibility with that as well.
All right, back to your travel in the final few seconds, that trip to South Africa. How long did it take you with the jet lag? Because that's a really, that's a tough one.
Well, I'm a big believer in melatonin.
Okay.
So I use melatonin to kind of get my sleep cycle back.
Yeah.
Probably took me about 2 days.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I loved the pictures. And were those done from a professional photographer, some of the stuff you were posting?
No, most of them I took myself.
Really? It was really nice.
And I'm not a big photographer. I tend to like to look with my eyes rather than through a camera.
Sure.
So I kind of lean on other people to take the pictures.
Yeah.
And, but it was fabulous. Just fabulous.
Glad you had a great trip. See you next month.
Thank you. Okay.
Dr. Bob Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. Almost said South Africa. You could be a contributor after all you've learned from your trip. There you go. All right. On behalf of John Couch, my engineer producer, that's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. Back with you tomorrow at 12:04. Until then, hope you have a great afternoon and evening.